You're listening to Inside here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. This fall, the U.S. hit a major milestone of 1 million organ transplants, which began nearly 70 years ago in 1954. And UC Davis Health is celebrated as one of the top facilities in the country, crossing 5,000 kidney transplants since conducting the first one more than three decades ago. UC Davis Health says its success is due to creative solutions and outreach. To tell us more about the process of kidney donation and transplants, I spoke with Dr. Eric Wan, the medical director at UC Davis Health's kidney transplant program. Also joining us is transplant recipient Wilson Du, sharing his journey living with renal failure and waiting for a life-saving kidney. Well, Wilson, I want to start with you because you were directly impacted about what we are going to be talking about and diving into this morning. What led you to needing a kidney? What challenges did you face?
Oh, wow. I did not know I had kidney disease. And I went into the emergency room for some unrelated issues. It was gout. I thought that was it. I thought I was going to get treated for that and get released. However, unfortunately, at that time, they confirmed it was gout. But at the same time, after that, the lab work came back and confirmed that I had stage 5 end stage renal disease. As you could imagine, it was like getting hit by a train. Light turned upside down, completely just blindsided by this whole thing, and my whole life turned upside down. So those were, you know, it was a very scary moment in time. I didn't know if I was going to survive. I didn't know what the next phase of the kidney disease was, and I didn't even know what kidney disease was. So as soon as I heard stage 5, I'm thinking cancer, maybe this is the end of my life. And so a lot of worry, a lot of just a lot of fear.
Yeah, a lot of big unknowns. I mean, we're not really prepared for something like this until we're just faced with it and you were slammed with it in that moment. Before you actually received a kidney transplant, what was life like for you before that moment?
Oh, life was, you know, it was really a fight to survive. I was on dialysis actually for 5.5 years. And when I originally got diagnosed, you know, I've been a big guy all my adult life, well over 300 pounds, 330 pounds, 315 pounds when I was diagnosed, I believe. And so just the challenge was, since I didn't qualify for a transplant due to my weight, I had to kind of figure out a way to get the weight off. And starting with dialysis right after diagnosis, I had gout inflammation throughout my whole body. I couldn't walk. I couldn't, I was extremely ill. I was extremely sick. And for me, telling me the doctor said to go ahead and try to lose 100 pounds before I would qualify for a kidney transplant. It was like telling me to lose 1,000 pounds. It was impossible. And so I really was just struggling and fighting to try to, figure out some type of plan or something that I could do to get this weight off to qualify for transplant. And believe it or not, it all started with maybe a 10-foot walk. Wow. And I did that every single day until I could get a little stronger and moved it on a little bit further and just kept on pushing and pushing. And I never stopped. And it took me about 2 full years of just walking and walking and doing other things to just really get the weight off.
I mean, many people will never understand how needing a kidney can impact your body beyond the kidney itself, or in your case, also the gout itself. What were the issues beyond the kidney that were affecting your body?
Oh, it was so much. Yeah, you're right. Beyond the kidney, you're looking at extreme fatigue, taking frequent naps, just not having the energy to do things, but needing the discipline to do it regardless of how I felt. And the best way that I could describe a lot of the fatigue, especially starting off, is just like for folks who wake up in the middle of the night to go pee and you're groggy and you're just walking and you're sluggish through going to the bathroom. That's how I felt all the time, all the time. And so just to actually get up and try to move, to try to do something, I wasn't always successful. I just try to play a game with myself day after day. And, you know, sometimes I made it, sometimes I didn't. And I was very fortunate enough that the majority of the times I won those battles.
And you went through this for over 5 years. And I know that you had to lose weight in order to qualify for a donor. Were there other challenges of getting on that list and getting a donor between, you know, that moment and, you know, the 5+ years before you actually received a donor?
Yes, there was many challenges. Number one, I'm not the one to actually go out there and ask somebody personally and say, hey, you know, I need a kidney. Can you give me one? So it was very difficult to have that conversation. But at the same time, I generally went out there and just after getting diagnosed, I felt ashamed. I felt like I brought this upon myself. And so, you know, why should anybody ask me? I shouldn't even be complaining about this. I didn't want to go out and talk to people. I was antisocial. However, when I realized that, you know, this is what needed to be done. And as I was exercising, changing my life, I started putting it out there into the universe that I do need a kidney, that I am battling kidney disease. And that was a very hard moment. But after I started doing that, a lot of the challenges throughout the years was getting my hopes up many, many times where somebody would step up, they wouldn't qualify for one reason or another. And then having other people step up and getting so close to getting qualified, but for some odd reason, they're not able to qualify. And so there was a lot of heartache to try to go through that. And it almost got to a point where I was almost numb when somebody said, Wilson, I want to step up and donate my kidney to you. And, you know, my reaction after going through this so many times was, you know, thank you very much. I hope things are going to work out. And I set that expectation with them as well that, you know, it is a rigorous process that, you know, not everybody is qualified to be a donor. But I didn't want to get my heart broken so many times. And, you know, that last time I as I least expected it happened, you know, so that was wonderful.
Yeah, there was definitely light at the end of all of that disappointment and heartache. What do you remember about your transplant experience and the recovery that followed?
Oh, gosh, the transplant experience was it was almost like a dream. Everything at the moment was happening so fast and vividly. But that whole transplant process, I remember that day of just, you know, the day before transplant, I went up to Sacramento and was staying at an Airbnb, and, you know, it was still a little surreal. Is this really going to happen? You know, I just had dialysis that morning. Actually, when I was at the Airbnb, I had to do my last dialysis session over in Sacramento at Satellite Healthcare. And, you know, I was still on the chair. I knew I was going into surgery the next day. I was still kind of anxious and also thinking, is this really going to happen? Is this really going to happen? And boom, as soon as it happened, you know, the staff was great there. You know, there was somebody at every single step of the way, and they addressed all of my anxiety. They addressed everything that I needed to be comfortable to go through the process and even after the process. So, you know, I didn't have to worry too much. I had my mother there to help me with the meds and understanding them. I had the nurses there quizzing me on what meds I'm going to take and why I'm taking them. And they, you know, Davis has done a really good job at having their patients take a proactive approach towards their treatment and care post-transplant. So I was very grateful and thankful for that.
I mean, I think it goes without saying there was probably like a Wilson 1.0 and then a Wilson 2.0 after your surgery.
Oh, yes, yes. Definitely. I was very eager after surgery to get back into training, to actually just get moving again and just doing the best that I can. I really felt very fortunate to have a living donor, and for who she was, I really, or who she is, I really felt that I needed to live up to that and try to live my best life and do my best and recover and, you know, do other things to help other people. So that's exactly what I've done. I've been so blessed, by having this, living kidney donor. It's almost like a fairy tale. This is better than hitting the lottery.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not only like the health and the health that you received from this transplant, but also just what you endured mentally and emotionally during this time must have just changed you as a person for the better. I mean, that takes a lot of strength and perseverance.
Oh, 100%. I will tell you right now that, you know, before even getting on dialysis, before the transplant, and there was, you know, a lot of trivial things that would go through my mind that can get me down, and, you know, just like anybody else. But after going through this experience, it has set a mental fortitude in my mind that, you know, nothing is impossible. And I truly, truly believe it. Being able to lose the weight while being extremely sick, being able to fight through it and be able to, I was trained at towards the end of leading up to that, leading up to transplant, I was training like an athlete. I was, you know, training other athletes, and I was really just trying to push myself. And a lot of that, being able to endure a lot of that, being able to have the discipline to do all of that, and even post-transplant, having that discipline to be able to do all that, is really derived from all the battles that I had to endure while being on dialysis, mentally, physically, even spiritually. And so, you know, even as to this day, you know, I'm willing to take on any particular task that's ahead of me. It doesn't seem like it's that much compared to what the last 5.5, 6 years of my life has been.
That's beautiful. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're learning more about the UC Davis Kidney Transplant Center and how it became one of the top facilities in the country. Okay, Dr. Wong, that brings me to you. How many stories like Wilson's have you come across in the time you've been at UC Davis Health?
Yeah, certainly there'll be many patients that we are honored to serve. And then, I mean, Wilson's story is certainly inspiring. And we have many other patient stories who benefit from kidney transplant and who really receive a new license on their life after the successful transplant.
How long is the average wait for a person suffering from renal failure needing a kidney transplant? For Wilson, it was over 5 years. Is that normal?
It is. The waiting time is getting longer. And in California, the waiting time is one of the longest in the country. Wilson was fortunate enough to find a living donor, which actually cut down on its waiting time. For the many other patients who do not have a living donor to donate a kidney, they have to wait for a kidney from a deceased donor. And the waiting time on that depends on the blood type. But for the blood type B and blood type O, which have the longest waiting time, the average waiting time is well in excess of 5 to 6 years. Now, in the Bay Area, it's even longer, approaching 10 years.
Why is that? Is it because it's a larger metro area, or are there other factors at play?
There are many factors at play why the waiting time is getting longer. One of it is that the incidence of kidney disease is on the rise. So we have more people than with end-stage kidney disease. And with the advancement in the transplant care, we're now able to offer transplants to even older recipients. But that also means that there are more people who qualify for kidney transplant. And we just do not have enough organs. So we encourage more people to sign up to be on the donor list to donate after they pass away, but we're certainly encouraging the living donors as well. Now, one thing that UC Davis has been successful to do is actually they're trying to utilize some of the organs, some of the kidneys that have been donated, but other transplant programs are not willing to use. And one thing that people may not realize is that each year in the United States, about 4,000 kidneys that have been donated by people who pass away and actually go unutilized, and they end up being discarded. But what we decided to do at UC Davis, realizing that there's a crisis in terms of the prolonging waiting time, is try to utilize as many of them kidneys as possible that can successfully get people off dialysis. And that's how our program was able to grow and how we were able to serve more patients.
Well, that takes some level of innovation. You're doing something different. How are you able to use kidneys that maybe other medical institutions would not use?
So some of it is about organ preservation. And once the kidney leaves the body, if we can keep the kidney perfused, and that actually helps preserve the organ for longer.
Right, because it has a shelf life, a short one, correct?
It does. And then and I think it also just takes some determination and leadership. The chief of transplant surgery at UC Davis, Dr. Rachel Perez, really has been a pioneer in utilizing some of these organs that other programs are that we're passing on. So it takes determination, not just innovation in terms of the technology, but also I think determination and leadership at the transplant center.
What would you like a living donor to know if they were considering becoming a living kidney donor?
So for those people who are who have the courage to step forward to be evaluated as a living donor, I would like them to know that for people who are healthy and with good kidney function, after donating the kidney, they will still have decent kidney function. They can go on living a healthy life with just one kidney. Now, our job at the transplant program is to make sure that people who are willing to donate a kidney get the best evaluation as possible. And this is a thorough evaluation of not just their kidney health, but also their overall health, because we really want to make sure that for people who are willing to undergo the surgery to take out a kidney that's really completely unnecessary, that the risk of that surgery is reduced to as low as possible. So we would like the people who are considering donating a kidney as a living donor to know that they will get a thorough evaluation, and not just medical evaluation, but also about their psychological state. We want to make sure that they have the financial resources to take care of themselves and also their family after donation. So it's a thorough and multifaceted evaluation to make sure that people who donate a kidney will continue to do well afterward. And the truth is that among people who will step up to be evaluated, we actually have to turn away somewhere between 70 to 80%.
Why?
Well, either because we uncover something about their medical, uncover something about their health, and what we feel that there's something psychologically or financially that may not be in their interest. We really want to make sure that people who are willing to give this gift of life do well after donation. And that's why we have very high standard and want to make sure that really want to make sure that people do well. And that's why we have to turn away so many people.
Yeah. And on the flip side, there are instances where sometimes kidneys will initially work, but then they can stop functioning. What is the success rate for a thriving kidney? And why do they sometimes fail a recipient?
Yeah, kidney transplant as a discipline has come a long way. And currently in this country, 95% of the kidney transplant are still functioning 1 year after kidney transplant. And among the kidney that come from living donors, and these are kidneys are better quality, come from a living person, and the success rate at 1 year after kidney transplant approaches 100%. Now, but kidneys do not last forever, and that's due to many reasons. Even though we have good medication to suppress the immune system and to prevent rejection, but over time, chronic rejection can still develop, and that causes the wear and tear on the transplant kidney over time. Sometimes the kidney fails because the original disease that caused the renal failure comes back. Now, sometimes we do also have some recipient over time become less careful and stop taking the immunosuppression medications. And that's how some people end up losing the kidney. With the improvement in immunosuppression, though, kidneys generally do last several years. And some patients actually end up passing away. A lot of patients actually end up passing away from some other causes, either heart disease and stroke or infection. And at the time of death, the kidney transplant is actually still functioning.
What is the average length that a kidney can survive in a kidney recipient? You said it's several years. So if someone received it in their 20s or 30s, would they need to go back and get another transplant down the road? How would that work?
Yes. So a kidney from a living person generally on average can last up to 15 to 20 years. But we also have seen the kidney from living the donor that lasts up to 30 years. A kidney from a deceased donor tends to have more wear and tear to begin with. It has to go through the organ preservation process. So kidney from a deceased donor tend not to last as long, but on average, a kidney from a deceased donor can also last up to 8 to 10 years. And sometimes we do see much longer as well. First, kidney transplant stops working. They go back on dialysis, but generally they are eligible for another kidney transplant. And we certainly have seen recipients who are on the third or even fourth kidney transplant.
In the last few minutes that we have left, Dr. Wong, what I'm learning from you is that, people like Wilson are not rare, they're common, and that they can wait several years before they get a kidney transplant. But on the flip side, there are some, 4,000 kidneys that go wasted in the country that don't find a donor. That seems like a very dire discrepancy. What conversations are you having with your colleagues? What makes you hopeful to kind of close this really important gap for the future of kidney transplants?
Yeah, so Dr. Richard Perez, really, the surgical director, really has been a pioneer utilizing these kidneys. And I think he's been the, and our success, I think, has also inspired some other programs to be more proactive in terms of utilizing organs. Certainly, when someone passes away, donate their organ, they want that organ to be utilized. And I think it's really is the best way to honor that gift of life, and by utilizing those organs and give it to recipients who are in need. And I do see that practice is slowly changing. And there is a crisis of the long waiting time on dialysis for kidney transplant. And many people die on dialysis and never have the chance of a kidney transplant. But I do see that the practice is slowly changing.
Hmm. Wilson, I want to end with you. What else do you think is missing from this conversation? What do you want to close with?
My whole thought is regarding patients. It's a very important mission of mine is to reach out to all the patients, either going through kidney disease, on dialysis, off dialysis, nothing's impossible. And if you know where you're going to be going, just take it one step at a time and just keep at it. And your day will come. Your day will come, whether it's within dialysis and you're trying to live your best life, you can get there if you choose to. It's not going to be easy, but just take it day by day, fight battle by battle. And as long as you keep that fight up, you will get to where you need to be.
Wilson and Dr. Wong, thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, and all the important work. And that is Dr. Eric Wong, the medical director of the UC Davis Health Kidney Transplant Program, as well as kidney transplant recipient Wilson Du. Still ahead, Sac State football is undefeated and heading straight to the football championship subdivision playoffs. We'll unpack the ingredients behind a perfect season. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.